Welcome back to South Florida Arts Beat here on 91.3 WLRN, South Florida's NPR news station, and 91.5 WKWM, NPR for the Florida Keys. Hello, Ed Bell with you. Later on the program, we'll feature Chef Norman Van Aken with a word on food, and Deborah Margol, Deputy Director of the Miami-Dade County Department of Cultural Affairs, with her arts calendar. South Florida seems to be Mango Central every summer, what with the Fairchild Tropical Botanic Gardens annual International Mango Festival, now in its 21st year. The festival celebrates the mangoes of Mexico on Saturday and Sunday, July 13th and 14th. Add to the delicious festivities, a new documentary called Viva Mango airs for 4 nights on WLRN-TV Channel 17, starting Wednesday, July 10th. Mr. Kayvon Antonio Haydari is the producer of Viva Mango. We recently had a chance to speak with this busy international journalist to find out more about the world's favorite fruit. Mr. Kayvon Antonio Haydari, thanks so much for joining us here on South Florida Arts Beat. Tell me why there is such worldwide adoration for this fruit, the mango.
Well, thank you for the invitation, first of all, and I think one of the reasons we decided to do this is that I saw as I traveled that everybody considered the fruit as sort of their emotional and cultural patrimony. And the reason being because the fruit, I think, has a connection with a lot of people who grew up with it in tropical areas. And I saw it a bit of this in the Caribbean, in South America, in Mexico, of course, and Latin America, and Africa even. And I started seeing some common denominators. And what I think has to do with the different tastes and the reason that most people consume this food from the tree. The tree gives them a different experience from buying the fruit in a supermarket, which is how we have most of our food delivered in the United States. Mm-hmm. And in South Florida, those of us who did significant amount of growing up here also, you know, there are a lot of different trees and there are a lot of different varieties of it too. And I saw that everybody who has a tree has family stories related to it, you know?
Now, I understand the mango is native to South Asia. It's the national fruit of India, Pakistan, and the Philippines, the national tree of Bangladesh. The fruit is interwoven in all of those cultures. And here in South Florida, there's a fervor for this wonderful fruit. And we're going to talk in our second segment with Mr. Larry Shockman, Director Emeritus of the Kampong, and he is involved with the 21st Annual International Mango Festival at the Fairchild Tropical Botanic Garden to explore some ideas a little bit further. But what led you to make a documentary about mangoes?
Right. Well, as I traveled and as I saw people in their relationship with mango, I saw that all the virtues and the sins of man were transmitted or tied up with this fruit somehow. Mm-hmm. What does it say to somebody who hoards a mango and doesn't share it? Mm-hmm. What does it say to somebody who, when they have a tree, they come in and bring it into the office? What does it say to somebody that lets it rot on the ground rather than let somebody else eat it? You know, and there's greed, there's all kinds of stuff, you know? What does it say to somebody who wants to eat them all rather than share? And what does it say somebody who maybe didn't have a mango tree and goes out and steals them? And I saw some people, like, I'd go and I'll grab a couple off a tree if I see that, you know, the owner of the tree may not miss them, you know? I mean, if I'm driving around, let's say, 67th Avenue in Pinecrest, but I certainly will not strip the tree bare, as I've seen some people who own restaurants do and with mm-hmm. trees that are not theirs, mm-hmm. you know? And then I also saw there's risk-taking involved, and that reveals about some people. I also, from my childhood, I remember growing up in the Caribbean that you know, you needed teamwork to do this right. If you're going to go climb a tree, you needed somebody down to throw the mangoes down to keep them, and you needed somebody up. There's risk-taking. There's collaboration. There's also, there's also decision-making. You see a tree, there's mangoes on the ground. You say, okay, are these good enough to eat? Are they too rotten? You're not going to eat them. Or are they in some kind of intermediate level? There's decision-making. Can you throw them and get better mangoes by taking these mangoes and throwing down? And can you make instruments out of them? So all these, I saw many aspects of it. And then there's people who like devote their lives to mangoes. We found somebody.
The whole spectrum.
When we were making Viva Mango, I said, I knew of some cases of people who would, this was a passion for them. And so we went out and finding people stories. And we also, I made a decision in the storytelling, which was to do without my, as a writer, to take my voice out of it entirely and let the people tell their stories.
Well, let me interrupt you on that. You really captured the human condition beautifully in this half-hour documentary of Viva Mango that will run on Channel 17, July 10th through the 13th. And it's quite engaging to see these various people of all sorts of culture. They come in from all over the world to go to the Fairchild Mango Fest. Talk about their love of this fruit. It's uncommon, I think. I don't hear people talking about apples the same way or bananas, but it's really engaging. And you have two wonderful South Florida chefs as well.
Right.
Chef Norman Van Aken and Alan Susser talk about their creations.
And there's many more, too.
Yes, yes. Yeah. So this is a wonderful documentary, a production of WLRN. Viva Mango, once again, air dates July 10th through the 13th on Channel 17. More information at WLRN.org/TV. And do you have a website where there might be more information about your concerns and your work?
There is a Viva Mango Facebook page.
Okay.
And people can get information on there about the show.
Wonderful. Well, unfortunately, we don't have enough time to fully talk about this marvelous documentary. I must say it's very well paced as well.
One of the things that we had to make decisions on was basically, really, without giving people a chance to smell the fruit or taste it,
mm-hmm.
how do you illustrate its luminous and its exuberant properties?
Explosive taste, yeah.
So we had some production decisions. And as a production company, we said, oh, how do we do this? And we used some Hollywood techniques mm-hmm. also to really
camera
work.
On a
yeah,
crane.
Cameras and that really needed to show the fruit at its apex of its colors and its luminosity and all those things. So we had our co-producer, Hugo Tavares, you know, help me do this. But it's really about the storytelling.
I must say that after viewing of Viva Mango, you'll understand why this wonderful, simple, but very complex fruit is celebrated in the way it is all over the world, and especially here in South Florida. And in our next segment, we'd like to, as I mentioned, speak with Mr. Larry Shockman, Director Emeritus of the Kampong, and more, particularly about the 21st Annual International Mango Fest. But we've run out of time on our first segment. Kayvon, you will join us in our second segment. So, gentlemen, we will return with you in just a second here on South Florida Arts Beat.
Please stay with us. The conversation will continue on South Florida Arts Beat right after these messages.
we're back here on South Florida Arts Beat with Kayvon Antonio Haydari. He is the producer of Viva Mango that will air on WLRN Channel 17 starting July 10th. And we're joined by Larry Schockman, Director Emeritus of the Kampong. And Larry, we want to ask you a few questions. At the Kampong, which was, as I understand it, David Fairchild's home, you were quite concerned with mangoes and many, many varieties, but you also have worked at the Fairchild Tropical Botanic Garden?
As a volunteer.
Mm-hmm.
I remember that David Fairchild was the first person who really introduced mangoes in a big scale to South Florida.
Mm-hmm.
After he retired
mm-hmm.
from the USDA, he focused, apart from flowering trees and tropical fruits, he focused a lot of his attention on mangoes.
Was his contemporary John Perrine, who also traveled the world looking for plants that could be cultivated for consumerism?
Well, he had many contemporaries who traveled the world collecting plants, and I presume Perrine was one of them. I'm mm-hmm. not absolutely certain.
They were apparently buddies.
Okay.
Way back when, I believe in the mid-1800s here in South Florida. Now, the 21st Annual International Mango Festival is coming up Saturday and Sunday, July 13th and 14th. And as I mentioned, starting July 10th, running through the 13th on Channel 17, we have this wonderful Viva Mango documentary produced by Kayvon Antonio Haydari. So a wonderful accumulation of all things mango. Larry, have we ever celebrated mango so dearly in this way?
Well, I was born in Sri Lanka, which is South Asia, and mangoes are a major part of people's lives. In fact, there's a phrase that when you're called a mango friend, Ambayalua, which means if, when your tree is in full fruit, you have lots of friends.
That's
and
when you
have
around.
No fruits on your trees, these friends mysteriously disappear.
Well, but so, that's one of the things we, if I may interrupt, Larry, that's one of the things we touch in the documentary now.
Yes.
Is basically the language, how it's worked its way into the language in different countries. For example, arroz con mango for many Cubans means a big mess.
Mm-hmm.
And mango bajito means low-hanging fruit, meaning something easy to pick off. And so we find phrases from all around. And I'm better known, I have more of a curriculum as a soccer or sports reporter. But the more I traveled, the more I saw the ubiquity of the mango in different cultures.
Mm-hmm.
And this, there's a backstory to the way this documentary was approved and born. It was in, we were in Brazil at the time. But I saw things in Venezuela and Mexico and Larry speaks, and I think the real theme, I think the overarching theme here is the protection of the trees that bring us fruit, flowers, and clean the environment. And Larry knows a lot more about that than I do.
Can you touch on that, Larry? Are we treating our mango trees properly here in South Florida?
Well, if you notice that we're going to have more hurricanes, bigger hurricanes with climate change, and one of the primary functions of arborists and horticulturists is to keep these trees lower your center of gravity. Richard Campbell is doing a wonderful job selecting trees that are have dwarfing characteristics. So we're not going to have these majestic giants
30 foot tall
of, you know, India and, you know, mm-hmm. Hawaii and places like that.
But so, we should have trees like that. I mean, we're cutting trees down. I see people cutting trees down to make more grass and more cement, and I
well,
think
we'll have the trees, but they won't. We're talking about the tree cover of downtown Miami, which is ridiculously low at 10%. But that's another story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's get back to mangoes,
because
they're so intriguing.
Okay, all right,
and they're so magnificent.
We ended up in climate change, but I think they're all related. Anytime you take a piece of the jungle, you pull that string, it takes
you
everywhere.
That's for another show, my friend.
Okay.
Now, tell us what we are to expect, Larry, if you would, if we're to attend the 21st Annual International Mango Festival at the Fairchild Tropical Botanic Garden. There's an auction there of fruit from all over the world.
If you want to see mangoes, go to that show at Fairchild Tropical Botanic Garden. Richard has something like 500 different cultivars of mangoes, which is an extraordinary collection of mangoes for anywhere in the world. You'll have at least 200 cultivars of mangoes being displayed on that occasion. So if you want to see color, size, aroma, don't miss that show.
I understand the attendees are so in love with mangoes that in this auction the price skyrockets up to a couple of $1,000s?
Well, people get carried
just
away.
Just for six, a plate
of Alfonso. The Alfonso. It's there's like, people come in from New York.
You like the Alfonso?
It's an interesting taste. I had never tasted it. There's something called a coconut cream. There's so many mangoes, and like people who buy bananas in the supermarket, they're getting a genetic copy of something called a Cavendish. And that's a story of food distribution. But the mangoes are so diverse. You have no clue. And the only way you can experience this is through your tongue and your nose. And if you go to there and you go to other mango events around town, there's some at the Fruit and Spice Park. But the king of these festivals is the Fairchild Mango. And Larry's there as a mango medic telling people how to make sure their trees thrive and give fruit, because he has the knowledge as a horticulturist and he also has a cultural knowledge.
Larry, expand on that.
It's called mango medic, meaning you answer medical problems for the mango, meaning what disease, what pests attacks it. How do you solve the problems? So we have a group of about three or four people, including some wonderful pathologists like Dr. Bob McMillan in this group. So we answer a lot of questions. They're usually the same questions in different forms.
Now, an obvious question, gentlemen. What are your favorite mangoes? What would one look for who is not so mango-centric?
That depends where you come from.
Correct.
Okay.
Now, if you come from Thailand, you'll prefer a more delicate mango. But if you're from India or Sri Lanka, like where I am from, you want a more aromatic mango. Hmm. You know, you go on flesh and color and flavor and fiber. All these things are important when you analyze a mango.
Yeah, I think Larry's got a point. The mango of people's youth, whatever your youth mango was, is usually your preferred mango. In my case,
the memories come flooding back.
Yeah, in my case, in Miami, I like the Hayden, which is a Miami creation. And I like one that I used to eat in Puerto Rico, which we used to just get up on the tree, climb up, and make our parents crazy, and bring that down and use it as a baseball substitute to throw around and develop our arms, you know. And it was a little bit more fibrous, but it had a certain terroir to it, you know. It had a feeling you could taste the earth on it, you know.
Je ne sais quoi. Yeah. Well, Kayvon Antonio Haydari and Larry Shockman, we do not have enough time to really go in depth, but thank you so much for joining us today on South Florida Arts Beat to at least scratch the surface of the mango, because we have a marvelous documentary, once again, Viva Mango, that is on Channel 17, July 10th through the 13th in the evenings. And then we have the 21st Annual International Mango Festival at the Fairchild Tropical Botanic Garden, Saturday and Sunday, July 13th and 14th. Both of you gentlemen, I believe, will be there.
Yes.
Yes.
Kayvon?
We have a Meet the Producer session where you can meet and ask technical questions and maybe ask, you know, why did we choose this person over that person to feature and many other things.
So you can visit WLRN.org for more information on Viva Mango and the air dates. Gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us here for an all too brief two segments on South Florida Arts Beat.
Thank you for the invitation.
Once again, for more information about the 21st Annual International Mango Festival, Saturday and Sunday, July 13th and 14th, at the Fairchild Tropical Botanic Garden, go to their website at fairchildgarden.org or call 305-667-1651. And for more information about the documentary Viva Mango, which starts on WLRN-TV Channel 17, Wednesday, July 10th at 8 p.m., go to WLRN.org/TV. Keep your dial set right here to 91.3 WLRN and 91.5 WKWM. South Florida Arts Beat returns in just a moment.
Welcome back to South Florida Arts Beat. Ed Bell with you. It's quite an honor for us to include the renowned chef Norman Van Aken on the show. Here's his segment, A Word on Food.
I don't want French fried potatoes, red ripe tomatoes. I'm never satisfied. I want the frim-fram sauce with the aus and fade, with shafafa on the side. Shoot, do, 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 yeah, do, do.
Hi, I'm Norman Van Aken, and welcome to A Word on Food. Today's word on food, hot dogs. You may be making plans to celebrate our day of national independence from the once tax-mad English by having friends and family over for a backyard party. Possibly your menu will feature one of the all-time icons of American gastronomy, the great American hot dog. When most of us think of hot dogs, I think we purposefully agree to block out what's actually packed into the dog's casings. I've even heard there may be lips in them. And what other stray parts or otherwise unsellable organ meats might be ground within that neat little capsule of fatty goodness? Never mind. We intentionally and forcefully disconnect the logic valve to our brain stem's regulator regarding health, ugh, and allow the id to run the show when we eat hot dogs. True confession, I eat them. Rarely, but I do. I crave them more often than I eat them. But there are times and places for that snappy, chewy, gut lust satisfying experience. I'd have one, and maybe two, if it is a national holiday, with a sweaty Betty Blonde. That's a beer before I get in trouble. An unfiltered Bavarian style Hefeweizen. Just to show you I'm not making this up, good beer if you can find it. I never eat in the fast food restaurants that clutter the globe now, and it's not because I'm too good. It just doesn't satisfy the necessary and even rational pre-qualifications I mentioned a moment ago. It doesn't make my id rev. Something warns me, if too many folks go to something, that something is probably very, very wrong. It's the same as my supermarket bestseller list of literature theory. I think I'll have another sweaty Betty Blonde and move on. If you are thinking of having hot dogs at home, I feel compelled to offer one basic rule, or maybe two. First, they must be cooked on a grill and given a nice char. Weenies bobbing in liquid are ridiculous. The fat inside that sausage needs to ooze out to the surface of the dog and sweetly caramelize in the heat of the moments. And since caramelization and said sweetness are present, rule number two, no freaking ketchup. Hot dogs are to be anointed with mustard. They need that tang. And sometimes they even need more. There is a hot dog vendor down in the section of Miami where English is expendable, who may have created the ultimate and most definitely not AKC registered dog. First, he puts a freshly cooked, grilled hot dog on a lightly toasted bun, onion bun for me. Then he adds some ketchup. I forgive him for this one violation if I'm too slow to stop his flying hands. And then the tangy goodness of mustard. Hold on. He's just started to walk this dog. Then he adds a big dab of mayo, then fried sweet onions and pickle relish, then he adds cold diced fresh sweet pineapple, and then he puts the dog on a plate and takes some spicy salty potato chips between his two cupped hands and rubs them back and forth over the dog, showering the now besotted canine with crunchy fatty shards of bliss. If it were a fireworks display, I think we'd all be saying, ah, right about now. I'm Norman Van Aken, and that's my word on food.
Norman Van Aken is the author of My Key West and is also the director of restaurants for the Miami Culinary Institute and Tuyo in downtown Miami. Please tune in this coming Saturday morning at 8:34 on Weekend Edition to hear Marco Polo. And here's our South Florida Arts Beat entertainment calendar. And today we welcome back Deborah Margold, Deputy Director of the Miami-Dade County Department of Cultural Affairs. Great to have you back with us, Debbie.
Thanks so much, as always, Ed. I'm just excited to be able to share some of the wonderful things that are going on this weekend and the upcoming couple of weeks.
Miami-Dade County has so much going on, I know.
Never stops, so it's wonderful. And, of course, during the summer is always a wonderful time to get out and enjoy some of the more leisurely paced activities that mm-hmm. you can savor and really just get to know the real scene of the art scene in Miami.
Yeah.
And things like tonight's Gables Gallery Night, in which you can go explore throughout downtown Coral Gables at this monthly open house, which happens, of course, the first Friday of each month, showcasing all of the local galleries in the Gables. Naturally, they're, in addition to the incredible exhibitions, there are free refreshments and complimentary continuous shuttle buses between the galleries. So they make it easy. You don't have to get too hot, even if it's going to be humid. Enjoy the free shuttles, but really get out and explore these galleries and some of the phenomenal local artists that are showcased in these galleries. Similarly, tomorrow night, the Coconut Grove Gallery Walk. It, of course, is the first Saturday night. So we have first Friday night, first Saturday night of each month. Complimentary refreshments again, and see the tremendous galleries that are located all through Coconut Grove at their first Saturday of the month gallery walk. Similarly, the Art Center South Florida has its studio crawl the first Saturday of the month. So tomorrow night, if you want to be over on the beach side of the universe, you can go check out all of the artists, in particular those that are resident currently at the Art Center along Lincoln Road. But don't forget to stray off the road a little bit, because there are wonderful studios all dotting that whole area of South Beach. So, you know, don't be afraid to venture a little further than just Lincoln Road. There's really great stuff awaiting you. Also this weekend, we're celebrating New Theater's Miami One Acts Festival. This is a wonderful festival. They're now celebrating its second year, and they'll be featuring 16 new one-act plays with a whole variety of subject matter. It brings together over 75 artists, playwrights, directors, actors, stage managers, everybody, in a tremendous weekend celebration that'll be tonight through Sunday, orchestrated and organized into two separate programs. There's a program A with about 8 or 9 different one acts, and similarly a program B. It's a familiar structure for those who have gone to City Theater's summer shorts, but this is New Theater over at the Roxy Performing Arts Center. That's on 107th Avenue, just on the opposite side of the street from FIU. And again, that's tonight through Sunday, the Miami One Acts Festival presented by the New Theater. This coming Thursday, you know, I think I say this every time, but I get so excited when the Coral Gables Congregational Church's Summer Concert Series is around, because yes, artists that we're able to enjoy here that Mark Hart and that summer series bring into town are phenomenal. Mm-hmm. And this Thursday, he's bringing none less than Pepe Romero, who is a true living legend in the world of classical music. Pepe communicates the richness and the beauty of classical guitar to millions of people throughout the world. This is the reason to go to Coral Gables Thursday night at the Coral Gables Congregational Church's Summer Concert Series. Opening Thursday night, and there should be a drum roll or cymbals or castanets or something, but it is the 28th Annual International Hispanic Theater Festival of Miami, opening Thursday night, July 11th, and running through the 28th. This is presenting, of course, some of the best theater companies from Latin America, Europe, and the United States, all over Miami and Key Biscayne. Some of the countries being featured this year include the U.S., of course, Chile, Uruguay, Spain, Mexico, Colombia, Brazil, Argentina, and a special tribute this year honoring Peru in recognition of this country's incredible contributions to Latin American culture. There'll be performances at the Adrian Arts Center, at the Miami-Dade College Wilson campus, on Key Biscayne, at Miami-Dade County Auditorium, at Miami-Dade College's Kubik Center. And then a wonderful free event on Sunday, July 22nd, is the International Children's Day, and that'll be over at Miami-Dade College's Inter-American campus. And there are arts and crafts, workshops in acting, dance, voice and music, painting and puppetry, a whole showcase performance. And in addition to the theater, the International Hispanic Theater Festival also presents some great music performances over the course of the 2 weeks. So definitely get out and check it out. And, of course, it's running from July 11th through the 28th. Next weekend, July 13th and 14th at the Colony Theater, Miami Lyric Opera is presenting two one-act operas by Giacomo Puccini, Il Tabarro and Gianni Schicchi. And this will be wonderful presentations all weekend long over at the Colony. The Gianni Schicchi libretto is based on an incident mentioned in Dante's Divine Comedy, and it is the third and final part of Puccini's Il Trittico, the triptych, three one-act operas with contrasting themes. And it's really a wonderful production. I would encourage everybody to go check out Miami Lyric Opera. Also next weekend is Second Saturdays, another one of our wonderful gallery walks, and a couple more for next weekend. First weekend we have a few. Second weekend we enjoy the Arts South Second Saturdays. That's in Homestead at 240 North Chrome Avenue. We also have the Art and Design Night, Saturday, July 13th. That's throughout the Design District. on Northeast 2nd Avenue in the high 30s. And just down the street from the Design District, you can also check out the Wynwood Art Walk. All of those are second Saturday events, the one in Homestead and the two in the Design District and Wynwood Art areas. Again, great way to see local artists at work, to really engage with them and dig deep into Miami's fine arts richness.
Yeah.
On July 19th, Friday, it's Big Night in Little Haiti at the Little Haiti Cultural Arts Center. This, of course, brought to us all by the Rhythm Foundation. And this particular big night on July 19th is welcoming the Kings of Compa, Tabu Combo. And in between the bands, you can enjoy DJ Mac. And in addition to the music on the street and in this Little Haiti Cultural Center, there are exhibitions in the galleries, delicious Creole cuisine, hands-on art activities for kids, always a fabulous, fun celebration at Big Night in Little Haiti. And finally, the Gable Stage in Coral Gables is presenting Good People by Pulitzer Prize winner David Lindsay Abaire, opening July 20th and running through August 18th. And for more information, please check out our website at miamidadearts.org. That's all one word, miamidadearts.org.
Wonderful event suggestions from Deborah Margold, Deputy Director of the Miami-Dade County Department of Cultural Affairs. Great weekend to you, and thanks so much, Deborah.
Thanks so much, Ed. Take care.
Welcome back to South Florida Arts Beat here on 91.3 WLRN, South Florida's NPR news station, and 91.5 WKWM, NPR for the Florida Keys. Hello, Ed Bell with you. To wrap up the show today, we go back to June 21st for a rebroadcast of our performers, Gold Dust Lounge. Our group today is a collaborative musical project led by guitarist-composer Russell Mofsky, a South Florida native. He came up through the do-it-yourself punk rock scene of the late 1980s after studying jazz guitar at the New England Conservatory of Music and the University of Miami. He started his current group as a way to explore and integrate a broad range of musical influences. His compositions now reflect jazz, funk, spy-fi, acid surf, spaghetti western, and Latin musical styles, and might best be described as reverb-drenched, loop-laden instrumentals creating spacious, cinematic musical excursions. Augmented by Barry and tenor sax, flute, and percussionist Juan Turos, borrowed from South Florida's famed band Suenalo, Brian Tate on bass, and Arturo Garcia on drums, their compositions cover decades of exciting musical genres. They have numerous recordings available on their website, and today we'll hear new tunes from their soon-to-be-released recording, Lost Sunset, available in the fall on vinyl and CD formats. Ladies and gentlemen, won't you please welcome back to South Florida Arts Beat for their worldwide performance, Gold Dust Lounge. Thank you.
Dust Lounge. And you can reach the Gold Dust Lounge on their website at golddustlounge.com, on Twitter at Russell Mofsky, RussellMofsky, on Facebook at the Gold Dust Lounge, LinkedIn at Russell Mofsky, and all their CDs are available on iTunes, Spotify, CD Baby, and Amazon. Look out for their soon-to-be-released recording, Lost Sunset, available in the fall on vinyl and CD formats. Rebroadcast South Florida Arts Beat tonight and every Friday night at 7 o'clock on our WLRN Extra HD channel. You can tune in on your HD radio or go to our beautiful website at WLRN.org for more information. And that's today's edition of South Florida Arts Beat. We hope you enjoyed the show. Adrian Kennedy is our executive producer. I'm Ed Bell, producer and host. Our theme was composed by Mike Levine and performed by Mike and Sam Levine. Paul Leary is our online producer. Special thanks to our technical director today, Andy Wagner, and our contributors, Norman Van Aken, Deborah Margol, and Gold Dust Lounge. Please call us with your comments at 305-995-2258. You can fax us your event information to 305-995-2221 or email it to us at info@WLRN.org. We'd like to hear from you. Monday at this time, we'll feature topical currents with hosts Joseph Cooper and Bonnie Berman, Monday at 1 o'clock. Have yourself a great weekend, and as always, please keep your dial set right here to 91.3 WLRN, South Florida's NPR news station, and at 91.5 WKWM, NPR for the Florida Keys. Until next time, this is Ed Bell saying bye-bye. Enjoy.